Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Gary Bettman yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon unveiled the NHL's 24-team return to play plan that was unveiled. Also got into the draft. Boy, that got a little bit complicated. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this rainy Wednesday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We now say hello and good morning to Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what did you think of what was laid out yesterday?
I really wasn't surprised by anything that we saw, just because we've been talking about it for the last several weeks. There have been multiple reports about a 24-team format and how it could look and how it would be ordered by point percentage. So really what we saw yesterday from Gary Bettman was confirmation on a lot of the reporting that has been done around the possible restart of the season. So I can't say I was incredibly shocked by anything. The one thing that did stick out to me, though, you know, Gary Bettman said pretty close to the beginning of his statement that the regular season is over. I thought maybe we might see some exhibition games. I think Elliot Freeman might have reported last night on Twitter that teams might get one or two exhibition games, but the idea of teams going from, you know, a 3-4 week training camp right into playing playoff games without actually playing any games before that seems like a recipe for disaster. So I think it would be beneficial for the teams involved if there were some sort of exhibition games, one or two, before the actual playoff start. But other than that, everything else was pretty much on point from what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks.
I have my thoughts, but I want to hear yours first. Why do you think Nashville was not on the 10 hub city list, considering the NHL never leaves Nashville off anything? They love Nashville. Why don't you think we made the list?
That's a good question, and that's certainly a question we could ask of David Poile. He'll be addressing the media here in a few hours. You know, certainly it's not an issue of hotel space, because Nashville, as we know, has plenty of hotel space. I wonder if it might have to do with the number of rinks available, but then you look at some of the other cities that were included on the list, and you think to yourself, does Los Angeles, for example, have more rinks than Nashville? Perhaps just because Los Angeles is a greater sized area. I wonder if it also has to do with how the region is doing in response to the coronavirus pandemic. I certainly think Nashville could have had some consideration, but when you look at some of the other cities on that list, they're much bigger than Nashville. You know, you think of Chicago, for example, Toronto, Vancouver, of course, no shortage of rink space there. Las Vegas, of course, plenty of hotel space. I'm curious to hear your theory, Darren, as to why you think they were left off.
Well, I think that, one, as you're seeing Nashville open up, and remember this time frame, Nashville, downtown Nashville in particular, will look completely different than what it even looks like today as Davidson County has moved into phase two. So when we're talking about this particular time frame, you know, we're already seeing, I don't know if you guys have seen the viral video out there of the pool party in the Ozarks this weekend. Not a good look. Yeah.
How could you not see that?
Yeah. Not a good look.
I can't unsee that.
Yeah, I agree. Well said.
The governor, I believe, saying that everybody in that pool had to undergo a 14-day self-quarantine period. I can guarantee you that zero of the people in that pool will undergo a 14-day
Yes. If that is their mentality with that scene, you think those people are going to go quarantine themselves? No.
No.
I think Nashville, and I'm happy about this. I want everybody to do the right thing and let's have better looks than what we're talking about right there in the Ozarks this weekend. But Nashville's going to return to form, Adam, and there's going to be a lot of tourists come to Nashville. People are going to be looking to get out. They've been inside for a long time, and they're going to come to Nashville. And places are going to fill up again, and more importantly, hotels are going to fill up again. And what you're asking the nice hotels downtown that these teams would be interested in reserving, and right, they would have to basically shut down for them. The Omni and JW and the Westin and all the nice hotels we've got now in downtown Nashville, they probably could make, this is a theory of mine, they could probably make more money just being open regularly. They've taken a huge hit, let's be honest. The hotel industry has taken a massive, massive hit through this pandemic. They could probably make more money and have more occupancy by just being open and just basically housing tourists that are going to come back to our city and events that are going to happen rather than shut down for 3 months and house or 2 months, whatever the time frame is, shut down for a long period of time and house NHL teams. Just a theory.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And that's why I think that Las Vegas has been a favorite in these discussions, according to reports, because you can put them up in one hotel. You can put the entire hub in one hotel if you want to. I mean, how big are the hotels in Las Vegas? Thousands
Massive.
Upon thousands of rooms.
Yeah.
In one hotel, so that you're not preventing, you're not taking up multiple hotels probably as you would here in Nashville.
And they have multiple wings too, right? You can put them in different wings. I mean, yeah, those hotels are massive.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I believe it's the Park MGM Hotel is directly across the street from T-Mobile Arena. I mean, that probably has multiple thousand hotel rooms. You could probably just house the entire. The entire operation there over to New York, if you really want to, which is across the street. But I think that's a good point there, and I would agree with that.
It was just a little perplexing to your point. Like L.A. really stood out to me. I was like, L.A. is on this list? Chicago and L.A. were probably two that really jumped out at me, and I'm like, really? Like, they're on the list, but not Nashville. But let me go. So then let me ask you about the Canadian cities. So there's three Canadian cities in Toronto, Vancouver, and Edmonton. So right now I believe Canada, and certainly this is a question we can throw to Elliot tomorrow at 1 o'clock, but you may know this for certain. Aren't they under, if you come outside into the country, you must quarantine for 2 weeks? And so if that is the case and that's still in place – by then, you're then asking all these teams to come 2 weeks early, and I think that's a bit of a stretch, don't you think?
I think so, and you're right. I mean, I think that was a conversation that was being had with Bill Daly and Gary Bettman yesterday after the formal announcement that I believe Canada does require, regardless of where you're coming from, a 14-day self-quarantine period if you are entering the country. And I believe Bill Daly said that if they are not able to find a workaround of, from that policy, that Canada might be disqualified from being a hub city. Now, it helps, it would help to have Canada be a hub city, one of those three cities be a hub city for a number of reasons. One, it's going to be cheaper to stage the games there just because of the value of the Canadian dollar versus the American dollar. And two, of course, it's Canada, so there's plenty of rink space. That is something that they're going to have to tangle with. And last week when the NHL put out that memo talking about phase two, returning to practice rinks and holding voluntary workouts in small groups, if I remember correctly, if a player returns from via commercial airline, I think they have to quarantine, I guess, depending on each state. But I think if players were to charter a private jet, they may be able to circumvent that. I cannot confirm that to be true. I think that's what I read. Reading comprehension, never my strong suit. But to your point, Canada's law requiring self-quarantine could be a huge snag, and Vancouver, Toronto, or Edmonton being one of the hubs.
talking to Adam Vingan, covering the Predators and the NHL for The Athletic. So, Adam, let's take some of the logistics that still have to be worked out aside for a moment and look at the competitive side. You wrote on this in your article, but first, how do you fall in the opinion of, was it right to add the Blackhawks and the Canadiens, expand to 24, in other words, to get those markets involved? And did they deserve to play a 3 out of 5? Because one of the biggest criticisms of the format, and I think rightfully so, and there's a lot of people from The Athletic that have weighed in on this, that it's just, it's one thing to let those teams in, but to give them a chance to win a 3 out of 5 where it's really a crapshoot, that may not give enough credence to what happened in the regular season. Not enough credit for the teams that built an edge.
You know, it's funny. I think of you think of college basketball tournaments these days. Think of the SEC tournament. What's the first day of the SEC tournament? A Wednesday, right? Like Wednesday, they play. You know, they have the worst teams play, and then they advance to play the next
the first four
teams. Yeah. So perhaps they should have done something like that for the teams that are, you know, 9, 10, 11, and 12. You know, maybe that's one thing they could have done. I have always been of the mind that they should have done 20 teams instead of 24 and have 7 play 10 and 8 play 9 in sort of MLB wild card play-in game / series, whether it's just one game or 3 games or what have you. You know, in that scenario, the Predators would have advanced to the first round as the 6th seed in the Western Conference based on points percentage. I always thought that the fewer teams, the better, but understandably from the NHL standpoint, you know, they're not going to be fans in the building and they're going to need ratings. So if you put Montreal in the tournament and you put Chicago in the tournament, you're going to get ratings.
You know, well, who you eliminated though? Like those are the two easy ones that we can. So who are the other two teams you're eliminating?
Well, who are the two teams that are directly above them? I don't have the list in front of me.
Well, you're going to eliminate a team that's going to say, you eliminate us, but they're in. I mean, that's once you get past those two, then you get into real sticky.
You would eliminate, I believe, Arizona and the Rangers. Arizona and the Rangers would be the two.
Yeah,
I think they
the
would
Rangers
be
would have certainly, you know, the Rangers certainly, in terms of market impact, would have been a hit to the league's ratings if New York wasn't in the tournament. But anyway. You know, you look at these qualifying series, there are some intriguing matchups. You know, the one thing that is going to be interesting for me is what they ultimately decide, whether it's going to be a bracketed tournament or if they reseed. Because I think that if you're looking to give the top team some sort of advantage in this tournament, because there is no quote-unquote home ice advantage, because they're all going to be playing in one hub city, there are going to be no fans. You know, the only really home ice advantage you have from a tactical standpoint is last change, which is important. But if you're trying to reward those teams at the top, you know, St. Louis, Boston, Vegas, Dallas, Tampa, Washington, I think you should allow them to play the lowest remaining seed. You know, if Boston ends up being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, they should play the lowest remaining seed after the qualifying tournament. They should not just play whichever, you know, 8 versus 9. You know, if 11 advances and they're the lowest possible seed, Boston should be playing whoever 11 is in the Eastern Conference. So I'm curious to see what the league decides to do there.
Yeah, let's get to that. Because there were a couple things that they did not announce yesterday because they clearly haven't decided yet. I can understand one of them. They have said the first two rounds, in addition, well, I shouldn't say in addition, the first qualifying round, in other words, Nashville versus Arizona, that round, that's 3 out of 5 we know. The first two rounds of the playoffs, as we know them, they have not decided whether it would be 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7. I'm guessing that's just based on timelines, depending on when they can get started. So that makes sense. What they haven't agreed on, though, is that I think you just referenced it, Adam. The reseeding, should there be a reseeding after the qualifying round? In other words, should the number one seed, let's say it's the Blues, should they get to play the lowest seed that wins? In other words, if the Blackhawks win, should they automatically play the one seed, or should you just bracket the teams? And you guys know, Darren, how much we've had fun filling out brackets. Right, that's part of marketing right? It gives people a chance to try to fill out the perfect bracket, and you can run a lot of contests that way. I think the league wants that. I heard Elliot talking about that on NHL Network, that they would like to have brackets, but the players and the teams think it's more fair to reseed after the qualifying round. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, they definitely seem hell-bent on the bracket. We've had this discussion many times over the years, right? They definitely seem hell-bent on having kind of that March Madness bracket. You're right, and not reseeding because they want people to fill it out, you know, at the beginning of the playoffs. And so I don't know one way or the other. Willie, what's – I mean – we've had both systems, and before everybody, people bellyached about the old system, and then you get this new system, and then people bellyache about it, and then they want it the old way, reseeding. I mean, they used to do that, and people complain. Now they're, yeah. I just
no
think
one's happy.
It's part of it. There's always going to be people complain about the system that you have in place. It's just part of it.
Right.
It's never going to be perfect.
And also, I guess they would have to determine, do you reseed after every round, which is what they used to do. So I think we have Adam back now. Adam, what do you think is going to happen, and what's the better plan on that?
I mean, I like reseeding, as I was talking about. You know, I will admit that I know that when the Stanley Cup playoffs start, the NHL, you know, tweets out a graphic of the bracket. I have never once filled out an NHL Stanley Cup playoff bracket. So I don't think that's something that's necessarily important to hockey fans. I believe it's the general managers who would like the bracketed version, or the owners that would like the bracketed version. The team side wants the bracketed version. The players want the reseeding. I agree with the players on this one. I think reseeding is most fair for, in terms of the teams that finished in the top of their conferences. I think one should have to play the lowest remaining seed versus, you know, having to play 8 versus 9 while another team plays 10 or 11. I don't think that's fair. So I like the idea of reseeding. But to your point, Willie, it's interesting if they were to reseed after every round or just after the qualifying round to make the initial bracket. So I'm on team reseed. Let's put it that way.
Before I turn it over to Chase, a thought, and I'm sure let's mark this down as the first question of 2 months of lead-up to this series between the Coyotes and the Predators. I mean, think about the scouting and how well these two teams are going to know each other by the time the series actually starts. The build-up is going to be incredible. We're going to be talking about this for a couple of months. But it really is a crapshoot, isn't it? Even though on paper you're saying, okay, that's actually not a bad draw for the Predators. But even though the Coyotes were kind of sagging before the break, they had played really, really well during certain points of the season. You would have, if you picked a certain date on the calendar, you would have said, wow, the Coyotes are on their way to a great season and the Predators are going nowhere right now. It's just where, what point in time do you want to take a look at it? But with this restart and basically 3 or 4 months of nothing, I mean, you can say this about all the series. It's a total flip of the coin, isn't it?
I feel like we are experiencing what college football experiences when they announce the bowl games. We're going to be talking about the Arizona Coyotes for the next 3 months. Like, that's all we're going to do. We're just going to preview Predators Coyotes from now until August. But, all of these best of five series, I feel like, are coin flips. And that may be part of the fun for the viewers. But when I look at the Coyotes specifically, you're right, Willie, they were not playing as well down the stretch as they were as earlier portions of the season. They're an intriguing team. Of course, they traded for Phil Kessel. They traded for Taylor Hall, who wasn't spectacular for them, but they've got a lot of really great young talent on that team, Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Clayton Keller, among others. You know, the interesting thing to me, and Willie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but at various points in the season, Darcy Kuemper was looking like a Vezina Trophy goalie. He was playing incredibly well. I believe he got injured and missed a significant portion of time, which may have coincided with their slide. But we know, especially in smaller series, shorter series, five-game series, that a goaltender can change everything. I mean, it happens in seven-game series as well, but especially in a five-game series, if Darcy Kuemper is healthy and plays as he was playing before he was injured, before the pause. You know, he could absolutely steal a series against the Predators. All he needs is to win three games. So certainly the Coyotes are an interesting opponent. The most important thing for the Predators, though, is that there are no games in Arizona where they were winless in six of their past seven, and therefore no unauthorized excursions to Scottsdale in the middle of the night.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Well put, well put. That place has been a very mystifying place to play for the Predators, no question.
We had to go back down that rabbit hole, huh?
Okay. Somebody was going to bring it up. You knew it was going to
come
up at
some
point.
You were all thinking it. You were all thinking it. I just chose to say it.
I've deleted it, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
Delete. Adam Vingan of The Athletic is here with us, and I do need to start my portion off by praising you. Very, 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 very good use of the word newfangled. I'm really glad you used that in your article. So that I was very impressed. That was really the biggest thing that stood out to me. But not
Thank
only
you.
Do we
Thank
have...
Thank you for reading the whole story and not just the subheads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did. But another thing, not only are we going to spend 2 months talking about the Coyotes, but, you know, I looking through some of the other things, and I saw Elliot Friedman put out, too, that they're going to have a couple of exhibition games. I wonder if that's enough, especially if you're a team like the Predators. We assume UC Saros will be the guy, but what does this layoff do for somebody like Pecorine? I mean, how much is that going to come up of, okay, maybe Pecorine has been, you know, had a little bit of a break, and we could get the Pecorine that we've known from the past. So how do you think that factors in when you're looking at strategy for the Predators?
There are three players, Chase, that come to mind to me who would most benefit from a return to play and the layoff that we were currently experiencing. Pecorine is number one. And that is a good question. I mean, UC Saros started 15 of the Predators' final 21 games before the season was paused, and he was playing exceptionally well. So do you go back to him, or is it like training camp in September and, you know, you have, you know, whoever performs the best starts in net? I mean, Pecorine has started every single one of the Predators' playoff games since 2010. So the idea of him not starting is a big deal, but UC Saros deserves the benefit of the doubt, in my opinion, if the team could come back. The other two players that stand out to me who could benefit the most from this are Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson. Ryan Johansson from a mental standpoint and Victor Arvidsson from a health standpoint, a physical standpoint. I mean, Ryan Johansson had 36 points during the regular season, which is over now, by the way. 36 points, an $8 million player with 36 points. According to our friends that Willie and I like to talk to at Evolving Hockey, Ryan Johansson was a below replacement level player this year. That's unflattering for a player of his salary. So perhaps, you know, this break will be good for him to hit that restart button. I know Joe Rexroad talked to him a couple weeks ago about that. You can read about that on The Athletic. And Victor Arvidsson, I think, is the player that would most benefit from a health standpoint. He was clearly not himself. Willie and I have discussed this many times. He was much less threatening off the rush this season. I have the stats from SportLogic to back it up. I wrote about that, I believe, in February. You know, if he can get back on his game and play that speed game we know he has, that would help the Predators tremendously. So those are the three players I think.
It's noticeable, Adam, as you mentioned that, watching these Golden Classics from 2017, it really is eye-popping how much quicker Victor Arvidsson is in those games and how much more – he's able to go into those really tough areas in front of the net, take a beating, take a hit into the boards, pop right back up. I do think the wear and tear on him this season was definitely showing. The Bortuzzo hit, all of that stuff. I think he was showing signs of coming back, but I agree with you 100% on him. I think it's more mental with Johansson, but the physical rest, I think, is a great point with Arvidsson.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you also that I feel like he was starting to find that missing gear right before the season came to a halt. But, you know, as we talked about a couple of months ago, I mean, Victor Arvidsson was arguably the most dangerous NHL player off the rush last season. And he just was not producing off of those chances anywhere near. It's not even the fact that he wasn't scoring off those chances. He wasn't even creating them. It would be one thing if he were creating them and having poor shooting luck. He wasn't even generating chances off the rush. And I think from a physical standpoint, he will be the player that will most benefit from this pause.
So if the regular season is over, like the like Gary Bettman has said, is Roman Josi the Norris Trophy winner?
He needs to be. I mean, we've talked about this at length, and I tweeted about it last night. I don't consider myself a homer in any way, shape, or form, but my homerific take last night was now that the regular season is over, Roman Josi absolutely deserves the Norris Trophy. And I think, and Willie and I remember having a conversation about this in Toronto before the season paused. You know, I think people were starting to finally come around on Roman.
That might have been our last true hockey conversation, Adam, before,
yes,
before everything hit. We were talking all these things. We were in Toronto. We were thinking, hey, this is a great time to have this discussion. We're around a lot of the national writers. They're going to be there. You know, what does the discussion need to be? What's the narrative here? And then all of a sudden, yeah, the world changed.
Right. And I think Roman Josi might be hurt in his Norris Trophy chase by the fact that there wasn't a continuation of the season. Because I think the way that things were trending, he was starting to overtake John Carlson as the favorite for the Norris Trophy. Now, he ended up with he had a fabulous season. He had 65 points. All of the underlying numbers are there. I think people will finally give Roman Josi his due, but I do think it would have helped if there was no pandemic and he could have carried the Predators into the playoffs. I think that would have clinched it for him.
And, hey, as we wrap this up, I do want to say I'm so happy for you that you have been able to combine two of your favorite things. You have an article involving The Simpsons and then wrestling and professional, yes, athletes making wrestling cameos, both very well done, and I just could feel the joy coming out of the computer when I was reading it, because I know how excited you were to be able to write these.
Having written a lot of history and English papers where the time was ticking and I had procrastinated and I wasn't that interested in the subject to begin with in college, I can appreciate the writing with joy concept. It's much easier to write, yes, when you have joy.
Yes, it is much easier to do lots of things when you have joy. And it's our sports. It's our sports and TV week at The Athletic. So, you know, my original pitch was to do the story, which is up today, on the best athlete cameos in professional wrestling, which touches on Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone, Rob Gronkowski, Pac-Man Jones, et cetera. But I was chosen to write the Simpsons story. It was, so, you know, perhaps that means that I am the biggest Simpsons fan on staff. So it was a great honor to be chosen to do that.
Well, hopefully we'll be thrilled in 2 months when we can actually talk about games resuming. Should be interesting.
All right.
Thanks for the visit, as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Adam Vidgen from The Athletic. That's where you can find his work. We will come back and close up shop for hour number one on this rainy Wednesday. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.